Welcome, nature-loving viewers, to a journey through aesthetic realms on Supreme Master Television. Join us today as we travel to a vast land full of rich and varied terrain, endowed with a diversity of wildlife. This site also has an abundance of outdoor recreational activities. It is the place where beauty resides, the Grimon National Park of Canada. Situated on the nation's east coast on the island of Newfoundland, Grimon National Park is made up of two contrasting landscapes, the coastal lowlands along the Gulf of St. Lawrence and the alpine plateau of the Long Range Mountains. As a result of this unique range of climates and topography, one can find an amazing variety of flora. There are over 700 species of flowering plants and an estimated 400 species of mosses and lichens. Aside from the natural beauty brought about from its wide spectrum of plant and animal species, Grimon National Park is famous for its unique profile. The rocks of this area represent millions of years of great geologic activity, a living testament to the Earth's continent shifting, evolving, and reshaping themselves. The park's geology has greatly contributed to scientists' understanding of the planet's natural history. This is one of the main reasons Grimon National Park was declared a World Heritage Site by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, in 1987. Specifically, the park has been used by scientists to better understand the theory of plate tectonics. Plate tectonics theory states that large plates covering the Earth's surface have collided and separated repeatedly over eons, driven by convection from the planet's mantle. The Long Range Mountains came into being about 1.2 billion years ago, during what is called the Precambrian period, when the North American continent came together with another continent to form the range. Eventually, the continent started a process of separation at a point 600 million years ago. Powerful earth-shaping forces came into play, and magma from the lower part of the planet's crust welled up, filling the gap between them, causing these two great continents to move away from each other. The solidified magma now makes up the cliffs of Grimon's Western Brook Pond. The gap created a basin which filled in and the Iapetus Ocean was born, a body of water between the continents of North America and Europe. This ocean existed from about 570 million to 420 million years ago. The Earth's continuing tectonic activity eventually brought about the end of the Iapetus Ocean, as the North American and European continents rejoined once again, creating the Appalachian Mountains, a range of mountains stretching from the United States into Canada, with the Long Range Mountains at its northeastern end. The shifting of the continents continued on, and as millions of years passed, we have the result of the placement of the continents as we see them today. It should also be noted that various glacial periods shaped and sculpted the park over time. The spectacular Western Brook Pond has a fjord-like structure resulting from the same type of glacial activity that created the fjords of Norway. The combination of glaciers grinding down the tops of mountains and the rising and falling of the ocean have resulted in the creation of contours of the land we now view. Another piece of the Earth's history that one may see here are the mysterious tablelands. This formation is an impressive 600 meter high plateau of rock. It is a unique place where one can examine what was once a part of the Earth's mantle and previously covered by the Iapetus Ocean. The rocks here have an orange-yellow color to them and are made mostly of peridotite, a type of rock high in iron and magnesium. You are viewing the natural beauty of Canada's Grimon National Park. Please stay with us as we return shortly with more colorful aspects of this site. Welcome back to A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms. Grimon National Park in the Canadian province of Newfoundland is the subject of today's program. The fact that Newfoundland is an island is an important point for those interested in the animal life of Grimon. Most of the species that are considered native to the island found their way here over the last 15,000 years by swimming, flying, or walking across the ice during glacial periods. The relative quietude that these animals enjoyed here created a number of land mammals that are now distinct from their mainland relatives. The Newfoundland black bear is much bigger than bears found on the mainland. These bears love to sleep and will hibernate for considerably longer than any other bear in North America. The Arctic hares found here are quite large and have only one litter a year, with about three babies at a time. As a consequence, their population is quite small, and thus the park staff keeps tabs on their welfare quite closely. Woodland caribou can be spotted in the Long Range Mountains. During the cold winters, one can find them in lower elevations, particularly along the coast. Among the most well-known of the mammals found in Grimon are moose, the largest members of the deer family. As thankfully, this is a protected area, the moose population is thriving beautifully. It is thought that the moose population density in the park is the highest in all of North America. Whales, including pilot, mink, humpback, and finback, can be seen in small numbers throughout the summer months. Harbor seals can also be observed basking on rocks during the warm season. Turning now to our avian friends, there are astounding 239 species of birds found at Grimon. The park is a significant breeding ground for the harlequin duck, the black pole warbler, and the Arctic tern. This area serves as a nesting site for birds including the rock ptarmigan and the American tree sparrow. It also functions as a stopover for migrating shorebirds. The kinds of fish that one finds in the region include the Atlantic salmon and the Arctic char. The plant life of Grimon includes up to 36 distinct vegetation types and communities. The coastal areas are home to white spruce trees with purple irises and marsh marigolds also found in this zone. Prostrate spruce and balsam fir are found on cliffs near the sea. The interior coastal plain hosts an assortment of sedges, a grass-like plant which are found alongside the American larch, a tree common to the provinces of Newfoundland and Labrador. Further away from the ocean are wet meadows where one will find great sundews, orchids, dragon's mouth, pincher plants, as well as sedges. In the highlands, what is locally called as tuckamore appears. It is a fascinating sight to behold. Tuckamore consists of black spruces and white pines that are very short and have gnarled appearances due to the weather conditions the tree endures. Grimon National Park has a cultural history that extends back about 5,000 years to when the marine archaic Indians first arrived from an area which is today known as the province of Labrador. Next came the Dorset and Grawater Inuit people who inhabited the area approximately 2,500 years ago. Around the year 1000, the Vikings, the first Europeans to visit the Americas, created a settlement on the west coast of Newfoundland in an area called Léonzéo Meadows. They did not stay permanently, however. Though the record is not entirely clear, it is believed the next instance of Europeans returning to the region was when the Italian explorer John Cabot arrived at the very end of the 1400s. He was venturing west representing King Henry VII of England. Jacques Cartier of France came in 1534 and explored the Gulf of St. Lawrence. Sent by the King of France, he charted the waters around the island, giving us the oldest description and map of the park region. 200 years later, Britain sent James Cook to the area. Mr. Cook bestowed names upon many places in the park, a number of which are still in use today. The early European settlers of the region had to struggle to survive the difficult climate and the lack of resources. Berries supplemented garden produce. These pioneers learned to be extremely self-sufficient as merchant ships bringing goods from Europe made only infrequent trips to the island. However, despite their difficulties, by the 1870s, the merchants began to prosper and the tradesmen established themselves. This newfound prosperity attracted teachers, doctors, and clergymen from Europe. A steamship now served the coast, a courthouse was built, and telegraphs and postal services became available. The area around Grammont was now well positioned to enter the 20th century. Today, recreational opportunities for visitors abound in the park. On the water, boating and kayaking are quite popular, with whale watchers coming to the area during the summer season. During winter, many love to cross-country ski and explore remote corners of the space. Snowshoeing and ice climbing in Grammont are pastimes during the cold season that are also enjoyed. Hiking trails, both marked and unmarked, exist for those of all skill levels, whether for a half-hour leisurely stroll or a challenging multi-day uphill climb into the Grammont Mountain. As we have seen, Grammont National Park is certainly the place to be for outdoor enthusiasts and lovers of nature. Besides the hiking, boat rides, and nature watching, simply enjoying the views from the highlands and standing on the sandy beaches are an experience in itself. Thank you for your pleasant company today on a journey through aesthetic realms. Join us next for Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living, after noteworthy news on Supreme Master Television. May nature be the inspiration of a blessed week for you.